Now, on The Wire, we've been focusing on the case of Austin Mikkel, a freelance journalist who's been covering the Arab Spring. He found himself in trouble in March when Egyptian authorities arrested him on the charge of inciting unrest, specifically that he allegedly paid children to throw rocks at police stations. He was placed under a travel ban pending investigations. The charges have now been dropped ahead of a visit from Foreign Affairs Minister Bob Carr. He told The Wire's Bill Walter of his relief at being released.
I'm feeling great. It's a huge relief.
Have you spoken with your family?
Yes, I have. They're as happy as I am. It's been a huge weight on their minds as well. I know, me being stuck here in this limbo.
Did they realise that there was no basis for the charges at all?
That would be my assumption. Our lawyer's been very confident for a long time that the charges would be dropped. It was just a matter of how long. And, you know, I don't think the fact that it was dropped coming just before, that it was happening just before Bob Carr comes to visit and just after he's made a representation to the Egyptian embassy on the issue is it's very telling. You know, it shows that when the Australian foreign minister does make his wishes known, you know, that he wanted the issue dealt with, it had an effect, which is important.
What role has DFAT played during your travel ban?
The consular staff here, and as far as I know, you know, their colleagues back in Canberra have been working very hard, but they seem to be getting stonewalled and not getting any responses. Basically, they were calling, is my impression, calling the Egyptians every day or two, trying to get information about what was happening, and that didn't produce any results. But we've seen that once the minister did take an interest, the results came very quickly. I mean, I don't want to credit Carr with superhuman powers. It may be that it's just a coincidence, but I do think there's reason to believe that had he taken an interest in the case sooner, it would have been resolved much sooner as well.
Are there any lessons for foreign journalists in your story?
No, I don't think there's anything too dramatic or unique about my case. This kind of stuff happens a lot. You know, repressive regimes will go after journalists. And I mean, as well, in my case, what's happened is I've really sort of been caught in an internal Egyptian media war with an attempt to sort of smear protesters and strikers as sort of agents of enemy forces, and so to do that you've got to conjure up the enemy forces. I mean, I don't know that there's anything I'd do that differently except minor tactical things in terms of, you know, meeting in more private locations when I'm going into places I haven't been before, which is, you know, and I guess always assume the threat level is a little bit higher than you think it is.
And finally, what is the situation like in Egypt now?
Well, it's, you know, things are still up in the air. There's been big moves made by the Muslim Brotherhood to assert themselves following, you know, following winning the presidential elections. They it was seen that the Brotherhood would be, you know, had a powerless presidency, but they seem to have asserted at least some strength, you know, back to that office. And there's now, you know, one of the big issues that everyone's discussing is actually media freedom, and will the Brotherhood clamp down on the media? The editor of a newspaper called Al Dastur, it had a front page basically calling for a coup against the government, you know, with all kinds of dramatic, sort of cataclysmic claims about what the Brotherhood was up to and why there needed to be a coup against them. And there was a, you know, that newspaper was pulled off the streets, the editor was put on trial, and then the Brotherhood president, you know, Mohamed Morsi, who's now becoming a very central and important figure in Egypt, swept in and benevolently passed a new law, since he has legislative power at the moment, which is a complicated story how that happened as well, that banned the pre-trial detention of journalists. So it was a real PR masterstroke, because it took the winds out of the sails of protests that were planned for the day afterwards. But it didn't really change the substance of the law that much. The case didn't go away. The guy is just not being held in jail until it's over, and that's what's changed. So that's a perfect example of the kind of change we're seeing in Egypt at the moment. We're seeing these little changes, but there's, you know, there's just people chipping away at a very huge block. So there's a lot of work to go.